Hey, I want to thank Courage to Lead for sponsoring this month's podcast. Courage to Lead is led by a friend of mine and my personal coach, a guy by the name of Sean Lovejoy. He has been a real estate developer, a church planner, mega church pastor, and now the CEO of a fast-growing coaching and consulting organization. Sean's been a guest on the podcast, and I've gotten to know he and several of his coaches that help pastors and business leaders all across the country. And recently, I was invited to join their team to be one of their coaches. Listen, I've just learned this over time. You can only get so far on your own know-how and own intellect, wisdom, experience, and smarts. You need someone that can coach you and help you see the things that you cannot see. And Sean has done that for me, and their coaches have done that for countless leaders and pastors. And now I'd like to do that for you as well. So if you'd like to inquire about either me being your coach or receiving a coach, contact me at PastorRustyGeorge.com, and you can click the link there to find out more information. If you'd like to just go to Courage to Lead to find out more about what they do, you can go to CourageToLead.com, a great world-class coaching organization helping you build a killer team and grow your organization. I'm so excited to be a part of their organization, and I would love to meet you there. Thank you to Courage to Lead for all that you do for leaders and all that you've done for me. Hey, welcome to Simple Faith. My name is Rusty George. Hey, we've had a guest on our show a couple of times now. His name is Clay Scroggins. And Clay was one of those guys that I had only met via my podcast. I'd heard about him. I'd read his books. We talked online here and there. We ran in similar circles. But about 2 years ago, we got to meet each other when we began to help out a church in Dallas, Texas. Actually, technically, Grand Prairie, Texas. And we became fast friends. We loved to laugh. We have a similar sense of humor. He's just a great guy, and we really enjoyed kind of connecting, went to a Cowboys football game together, and had a lot of laughs and good times there. Well, Clay is the leader of a great organization where he helps pastors, and he helps churches, and he helps businesses with their leadership dilemmas. He's the best-selling author of an incredible book called How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. And Clay is just an all-around great guy. So I wanted to sit down with Clay again, talk about ministry, talk about faith, and talk about how that can actually be intersected into the workplace as well. So here's my conversation with Clay Scroggins. Clay Scroggins, back on the podcast. I believe this is your second, maybe third time. I'm not sure. I'm sure they're all memorable for you, though.
I'm glad to know you, period, Rusty. And if the podcast is what we have to do to get together and talk, that's great. I'm sure you find that, though, the podcast makes you, it kind of forces you to end up talking to people.
It does. And I get an audience with some people that I would never get to go out to lunch with me. So
right.
This is great. And certainly with the magic of technology, we can do this over Zoom or Riverside, as we're doing today. You and I got to hang out at a Cowboys football game, which was hilarious because neither one of us would consider ourselves Cowboys fans, and we end up in a box. Man, that was an awesome experience, even though the game wasn't awesome. The Cowboys blew them out.
Yeah, the Cowboys were they were a force to be reckoned with at home this year.
Yes.
Until the playoffs.
Yeah, if... And then Green Bay came to town and did not care.
No, they did not.
What had been done in the past. You probably get a lot of those opportunities, right? With the people that you've met and the business leaders that you work with. You get, you know, I mean, what are some of the more memorable experiences you've had like that?
Well, the one that I'm still most frustrated about that I haven't had is I've lived in Atlanta now for 25 years and preached at churches and tried to talk about golf as much as possible. And I thought I would get an invitation at some point to play Augusta National. Mm. And I have not. So I'm still holding out hope. No, maybe one of the most enjoyable ministry experiences I've had in the last few years was speaking. I've spoken a couple years at a conference called the Daniel Summit. It's a group of Christian professional sports executives, who are trying to make a difference for the name of Jesus in their place of employment. And that has allowed me to meet a bunch of people that work in professional sports. It's a tough industry.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, in a lot of cases, they don't pay really well because there's kind of a, there's a cool factor to working in professional sports. And so they get a reduction on pay because of that. but they do get really great opportunities if you like sports. And you and I share in that.
Yeah, it was fun being at a game that we didn't care who won. We were just enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game that my Chiefs lost to Buffalo. We watched it on TV in the box because, Kadarius Toney had his foot over the line. But anyway, so my day was already ruined, so I could just kind of settle in and enjoy the conversation. And it was great getting to hang, because what our listeners may or may not know is that you and I, over the last year and a half, got a chance to teach for a church and never really ever be together, because you would teach one weekend and I would teach the next. And how did that kind of happen? How did they contact you, and how did this begin?
For me, it was a guy named Ted Cunningham. Ted lives in Branson. He's a pastor in Branson, Missouri, and does a lot of marriage speaking. And Ted had done an event at Crossroads Christian Church and stayed connected to some of their staff. And then when they were looking, I'll never forget the first meeting I had with them. They said, hey, we're really looking to fill some Sundays. And I remember sitting on the call. Of course, I'm not going to say it, but I thought, well, I hope I'm better than just filling a Sunday. But honestly, I was like, I'm grateful to get to serve. How about you? Did you know someone, I assume?
Yeah, there was a connection. I've known the church forever because of my connection with the previous senior pastor. But I think there was a guy out here named Brandon Beard who put my name in, and same kind of thing. Mm. You know, he can fill some slots for you, you know, which is kind of the nice way.
You're better than that, Rusty.
Exactly. What's been the weirdest compliment you've ever received?
Well, for you, I mean, my ministry journey has been, I worked for 20 years for Andy Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started preaching, I was the Memorial Day guy. Then I moved to, I called myself traffic control. When it would get too busy, the crowd would get too large, they'd bring me in and it would ease the traffic. People would come from all over the world to come hear Andy preach. And particularly in the last few years that I was there, and I'm such a moment of disappointment on their face. I had one lady who I'll never forget. She comes up to me, she waits in the line, you know, it wasn't that long of a line, but a couple people. She waits and she goes, oh my goodness, we came from Tampa. We listened to you every single week and we couldn't wait to get here. I can't believe I'm getting to meet you. And I was like, I think she thinks I'm someone else. And she had her phone in her hand, you know, like this, like she was about to take a selfie. And she said, it dawned on me. She was kind of nervous as she was just talking. She's like, it dawned on me. I only listen. I've never actually watched. And so you're not what I thought you would be or something. And I finally broke it to her. I was like, ma'am, I am so sorry. I think you think that I'm Andy Stanley and I'm not. And she slowly put her phone in her pocket and just walked away.
That's so good.
Back to your question, the comment I would get is, man, you know, whenever we would hear Andy wasn't here, we used to hate it, and we don't hate it as bad now.
Yeah, that's always the nice one. You know, I was kind of that guy for a pastor by the name of Mike Bro in Kentucky, and I could literally, when I'd go out to speak, I can literally watch people get their things and get up and leave. I mean, there's just nothing like that to, you know, when you're in your intro,
yeah,
think, oh, this is going swimmingly. You know, people are bailing for the exits.
Mike Bro. You've gotten to know him really well over the years because you work with him.
Obviously, yeah.
I don't really know him, but I heard him preach at a Willow Creek preaching conference like 20 years ago.
I remember that.
Yep. And I thought, man, this guy is a phenomenal preacher.
He's incredible. Okay, so Clay, tell us about your podcast, because you and I talked briefly about this, I think, at the Cowboys game. But you have a podcast that a friend of yours runs, and he just asks you questions. Is that kind of the way it works?
Well, no, we both participate with it, I would say. But it's called How to Lead. So my career is the journey of my career is that I wrote these leadership books and ended up getting invitations to speak at businesses, corporations. And I've really found that's a very fulfilling opportunity for me to get to help business leaders, help people in the workplace, try to figure out how to enjoy their job more, how to become a more influential leader in the place they work in. So I feel like my day job is really split in half, about half preaching and then about half corporate speaking. Mm-hmm. So the podcast is, we try to make real short, simple deposits into people's work life, something that you could grow in, something that you could pass on to your team. It's called How to Lead, and it's a resource designed to help leaders grow and then to help leaders resource their team as well.
You get to work for, you know, one of the world's greatest leaders in Andy Stanley for 20 years, and you learned a lot there, and you got to be exposed to a lot of great leaders just by being in that atmosphere. But here you are venturing out, doing your own thing, teaching about leadership. What do you know now about leadership maybe you didn't see because you were too close to it when you were in the church world?
You know, I would hear this when I was young, and I would kind of roll my eyes and go, come on, it's more than that. But just the idea that character is really the foundation for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things I remember learning about leadership. But at the time I thought, no, it's got to be more complex, or it's got to be more nuanced, or it's got to be more sophisticated than that. But I do feel like as I look back, I wish I would have adopted that, or at least spent as much time thinking about character development. It's when I help an organization, I feel like what I'm really doing is helping their people become better people. Because if you can become a better person, you'll become a better leader.
Mm.
There's real, and they're not, you can't become a better leader without becoming a better person.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't work like that. That as you grow as a person, in your character, in your integrity, in your wholeness, I'm not afraid to say what I actually think to the person that it might hurt their feelings. You know, I'm not going to say one thing to them and say another to somebody else. That character development is leadership development.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had heard it, but I wish I would have bought into that philosophy sooner, not just for my own growth, but as I think about helping others as well, maybe more so.
That's such an interesting statement, because we tend to assume that character is just who you are, you know. I sometimes fudge the numbers, or you know what, I'm just always late or whatever. But I'm going to work on my leadership development. That was such a buzzword, you know, back in the mm-hmm. 90s and 2000s, of just developing leadership skills and all of that. But you're so right. If you could clean up some of those other things, boy, that just really allows you to lead people, don't you think?
Yeah, because one simple exercise I like doing is just asking people to think about a leader that's made a big difference in your life and write down what it was, the one characteristic or virtue that that person exhibited that is, you know, maybe is one of the reasons why you thought of them. They don't ever write down, oh, their ability to speak in public, their ability to strategically think, their ability to motivate the team. No, their ability to, you know, run a pivot table in a spreadsheet, you know, whatever it may be. We say things like, she was a listener. He cared deeply about me. He was unafraid to say the hard things. he always believed in me when nobody else did. It's character qualities that we give, right? And so that simple little exercise, it's kind of like, Rusty, when you and I were student pastors and we used to do that thing where you'd talk about dating and you'd say, make a list of all the things you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of flip it and be like, you know, are you becoming that kind of person? You know, it's that same idea. It's like, well, if that's what we're looking for, or if that's who has inspired us, then maybe that's what we ought to focus on in becoming a more influential person at work, is a person that has deep, deep character.
Hey, let me interrupt this podcast to just remind you about CourageToLead.com, a great organization that is helping leaders build killer teams. And I'm happy to announce that I am now part of their organization, helping pastors and business leaders. If you'd like to learn more about me being your coach or finding a different coach, just check it out at my website, PastorRustyGeorge.com, for more information. All right, back to the show.
That's so good. And it's a perfect segue into the question I wanted to ask you, because this podcast is called Simple Faith. You know, we're trying to simplify the transcendent and unexplainable of having a relationship with God. And this gets down, a lot of this is character development. But I mean, we hear a lot of, and in the fields you and I run in with pastors, we hear a lot of this phrase, you know, I'm just looking for something deeper. People leave churches because they're looking for something deeper. I want to be a deeper Christian, a deeper person, those kind of terms. How would you define depth as a Christian? Maybe it's character-based, maybe it's intellectual-based, maybe it's experiences with God. I mean, everybody seems to have their kind of, you know, lens they look through for that. And what's been your go-to answer when people say, I just need something deeper?
I always think about Jesus's parable of the man who builds his house on the rock versus the one who builds his house on the sand. He says, it's the one who puts my words into practice, right? He's the one who is building his house or her house on the rock. That to me has always been depth. And I certainly relate to what you said about the most common belief people have about depth is knowledge accumulation, right? I mean, as pastors, you and I, and anyone who is in the pastoral world knows what it feels like to walk around with kind of like a suggestion box that you're holding, you know? And one of the most common things people say is, I wish our church was just deeper. And then you go, tell me what that means to you. And they go, oh, well, I wish we were willing to take on some of the more nuanced or difficult books from the Old Testament. Like what? Like maybe Isaiah or, you know, Exodus, Leviticus. Okay, well, let me ask you, are you reading that for yourself? And what does that have to do with anything? You know, well, it has everything to do with anything. That it's not about just learning more info or knowledge. It really is about putting it into practice. If Jesus's parable was right, that's what it looks like to build our house on the rock, is to put those words into practice. So that's been my, the way I've tried to think about depth, is application and not information accumulation.
You know, I think we all have some kind of default answer we give people in those moments. Mine used to be outrage and offense, and now I've kind of crafted it to be a little kinder. Right. But below that statement people make is something they feel is missing in their own life. And it might be just, I don't know enough, or I feel like I'm more spiritual when I'm smarter, or whatever it is. What do you think people are really asking when they say that?
I do think there is something, there is a feeling that we get when we learn something about God that makes us feel like we're unlocking a code, or that we are growing. But I think so much of it is ingrained in us from our, you know, our education system. I mean, couple of our kids this morning were studying for a test before school, and they were just like cramming these facts to try to get them inside, because they're going to have to go and restate these facts on the test. And if they do, they'll get an A, you know? So I think that model of learning is in us from a the beginning of education, that you just go and learn more and that's how you progress. I do think there's probably something what you're saying about there is a mystery to God. And as we get to know some of the information or deeper facts or more interesting things to understand, maybe it feels like we're getting closer to understanding the mystery of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's certainly something to that.
It is interesting. I think about all the times I've sat in a message and I've heard something that made me go, oh, I have never thought about that before. Could I tell you any of those things right now? No. But in the moment, the dopamine hit was huge, you know? There was a sense of knowing the unknown and even maybe a little bit of scorekeeping. I know this and you don't, which is a little bit, feeds the ego a bit.
I preached at your church, Crossroads in Grand Prairie. I preached a couple weeks ago on Esther, and I thought about it there because the one, you know, the Trivial Pursuit question about Esther is, what's the one word that never shows up in Esther, right? It's the word God.
Right.
And that was good for me to go, okay, how do I share this? Not in a, oh, I'll tell you something that's interesting about Esther, but how can we learn this in a way that actually drives us to do something about it or to learn something about God or to understand something more? So you're right. Those, we might not remember those ahas, but there's certainly value to them.
Yeah.
I don't want to discount that there's something powerful about learning.
No, there are. I think maybe in the moment it's realizing maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did,
yeah.
Or God's a whole lot bigger than I thought he was, you know?
Yeah.
So when you think about faith, you know, character, faith, depth, all these kind of things, just personally, Clay Scroggins, how do you grow in your faith? I mean, here's a guy that you were in full-time ministry and now it's a little bit more nuanced. You preach on the weekends, but you also do a lot of, you know, business consulting during the week. You've got, you know, I don't know, 25 kids you're raising at home. I'm sure it feels like that some days. You're a little bit, well, let's say it this way. On the Myers-Briggs, you're not a J, okay? So you're a little bit all over the place at times. And you know, you own that. Probably growing in your faith is different than somebody else that's a little bit more meticulous about their schedule or processes. So what's that look like for you?
Our third grader was telling me about this kid in his class. They go to a charter school. It's a public school. But so whenever he meets someone that has a faith, he's always like, oh my gosh, she's a Christian or he's a Christian. And he was explaining this person's faith and says that she gets up in the morning and has a devotional that she reads, and then she writes down the verse and puts it in this note card and files it in her system. And he said, I just am so, he didn't use the word impressed, but that was what he was trying to say. I'm so impressed by her because her faith is so organized. And I've been laughing about that, thinking about, yeah, that's, no one would accuse my faith of being organized, nor have I ever aspired to have a more organized faith. But to your question, which I love the idea of simple faith, the book, when I was probably 23, 24, and I was just differentiating myself from my parents, I was trying to become my own person, trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. I was a real approval addict. I was a real acceptance. I was driven deeply by acceptance, always have been. And the book Search for Significance, do you remember that book, Rusty?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was so impactful for me. And the answer to being an approval addict or playing the blame game or whatever all of our go-to is, this author said the answer is to go be aware of how loved you are. And so that, for me, is my most consistent to do is, am I growing in awareness of how loved I am? Before any achievement or anything I've accomplished, that God loves me just how I am, and letting that be what builds my confidence, and holds me steady when things aren't going well, and informs me on the days where I'm trying to find it in so many other places, is, am I growing in my awareness of God's love for me?
Dare I say it, that was deep.
Right.
Seriously, man, that was strong. Really, really good. Great way to kind of land the plane on this conversation. Buddy, I just love talking with you. We always have a lot of laughs together, and I just want to say thank you for investing in so many leaders. Obviously, your book, How to Lead When You're Not in Charge, has impacted probably millions of people that are in that sticky situation of being in middle management, trying to figure out, how do I do this in a way that's respectful, but yet also making an impact? But I would say the Aspiring Guide for Leaders, and I might be messing up the title, is equally as good, if not better. Maybe less Seinfeld references, which I could always use more of those. But great, great stuff. And How to Lead in a Distracted World is also a solid read for everybody. But thank you for the way you've invested in leaders. Thank you for the way you've invested in this church I now serve. And thank you for the way that you've invested in Kingdom Leaders for a very, very long time. So grateful for you, brother. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Rusty. Thanks for taking your spotlight and shining it on me for a minute. I really appreciate that. Excited to be back with you soon.
Well, Clay, as always, thank you for being a part of the podcast. Thank you for all that you've done for Crossroads Christian Church and the continued partnership we get to have. And I'm looking forward to continuing that in the years to come. Hey, next week, we begin a brand new segment of podcast. I'm going to lead us through 4 weeks of my new book, which comes out in May. The book is called Friend of God, and you can begin pre-ordering it now, and I'll give you all the details of it next week. So thank you for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review if you don't mind. And as always, keep it simple.